Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is November 7, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about After Xi, China's central bank gives blockchain tech a pump. Malaysian thieves drill through wall to steal 85 crypto machines. Digital travel firm Webjet has launched its booking verification blockchain. Global crypto framework needed to stop regulatory arbitrage, watchdog warns. Crypto-friendly Silvergate Bank goes public on New York Stock Exchange. Avalon Bitcoin miner Maker Kanan posts $13 million Q3 profit in new filing. Coinbase will now reward users for holding this cryptocurrency. Mike Raison says he'll take legal action to return to Bitmain. Bitcoin price risks drop below $9,000 if bulls can't muster rally soon. Three insights on crypto derivatives and risk from veteran OTC traders. Crypto exchange CEX.io boosts U.S. push with Silvergate's payment network. Asia's backed. AAX rolls out crypto trading with London Stock Exchange Tech. Zcash trademark talks were about more than a logo. Now let's get started. After Xi, China's central bank gives blockchain tech a pump. The Chinese central bank is promoting the use of blockchain in trade finance, soon after the nation's president made a call to adopt the tech across multiple industries. In a joint statement with Shanghai's Commerce Commission Thursday, the city's branch of the People's Bank of China, PBOC, said blockchain can solve asymmetries in trade finance and provide authenticity for trades, according to Reuters. Blockchain also lowers cost thresholds for trading institutions, particularly in the export-import markets, the regulators said. The joint statement comes 2 weeks after President Xi Jinping called on Communist Party leadership to seize the opportunity provided by blockchain technology, seeking for a top-down implementation approach along with widespread testing of blockchain's applicability for the Chinese economy. The PBOC is currently developing its own digital yuan, expected to be built at least in part with blockchain technology. Summer reports of a November launch date were recently shot down by a senior official, but the project is expected to go live soon after development was hastened by the announcement of the Facebook-led Libra project. Malaysian thieves drill through wall to steal 85 crypto machines. Malaysian authorities have apprehended five men charged with stealing 85 Bitcoin machines. The police captured the men in a police raid on November 2. The Sun Daily reports that four men and one woman rented a building in Seremban, Malaysia adjacent to a warehouse storing the Bitcoin machines. The five drilled through the concrete wall connecting the two buildings. All the suspects were friends without past criminal records, The Sun writes. Worth $10,300 each, the machines were most likely Bitcoin mining rigs, although local police did not specify. On October 29, a shopkeeper lodged a police report following the missing of 85 Bitcoin machines, said Seremban Police Chief Supt Mode Said Ibrahim in a press conference. Subsequently, police conducted raids and arrested suspects, aged between 25 and 46 years. The raids occurred last Saturday night between midnight and 5 a.m. local time. Authorities confiscated a car, a four-wheeled vehicle, and heavy equipment believed to be used for drilling through the concrete, The Sun added. The suspects have yet to be sentenced. Digital travel firm Webjet has launched its booking verification blockchain. Digital travel agent Webjet has launched its long-in-development blockchain-based platform in a bid to remove disparities in hotel booking data. Working in conjunction with Microsoft through the firm's Azure Blockchain as a Service sandbox since 2016, Webjet said Thursday the new RISChain application will address hotel reservation snafus and overcharges by looking for data mismatches in real time between customers, hotels and booking agents, and sending alerts if any are found. Such errors are found in at least 5% of bookings, according to the firm. Once identified, they trigger a time-consuming and painful reconciliation process, resulting in heavy resourcing requirements and financial exposure. Founded in 1998, ASX 200 listed Webjet hosts an online travel agent business throughout Southeast Asia, Australia, and North America. The firm also operates business-to-business accommodation platform WebBeds. Combining a virtual handshake and email early warning system, Webjet says RizChain leverages the distributed nature of blockchain technology, storing information on a shared ledger to give each party involved with online bookings up-to-the-moment information. According to its website, RizChain is built on a private version of Ethereum. John Gischick, managing director at Webjet, said in a statement, "With multiple IT systems speaking different languages, mistakes are probable, and the default position is often to write off debts when the situation is not clear. For years, the industry considered it a cost of doing business. It doesn't have to be that way any longer." Global crypto framework needed to stop regulatory arbitrage, watchdog warns. Hong Kong's chief securities regulator says world regulators needs a united response to Facebook's Libra to tackle the real risk of regulatory arbitrage. In remarks delivered Wednesday at Hong Kong FinTech Week, Ashley Alder, chief executive officer of the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, SFC, said Libra and other big tech stablecoin projects pose a deep threat to fragmented financial regulators around the world. "The risk comes not when countries shore up their domestic anti-money laundering and consumer protection laws, but when some do, and others don't," Alder said. Explaining the arbitrage threat, that is, when companies flee stricter jurisdictions for nations with more lax regulations, Alder said, "If a retail stablecoin is approved in one jurisdiction, whether as a security, payment system, fund, trading platform or another category or a combination of these, it could easily go global very quickly if it rides on the back of the huge user base of a big tech platform." Alder acknowledged that Libra's explosion into the public consciousness has brought added scrutiny around the area. Indeed, recent pressure from Chinese, US and EU regulators has triggered a hemorrhage among the project's governing council, with several companies exiting the project even before the namesake Libra Association was formally created. "Regardless of how Libra itself performs or if it launches," Alder said, "its very existence has drawn much regulatory attention to the crypto space." In 2018, the crypto world was seen to be of marginal importance to the global financial system. The Financial Stability Board, which is basically the G20's financial regulatory arm, concluded last year that, although blockchain currencies such as Bitcoin were problematic from an investor protection angle, they did not yet pose any significant financial stability risks, he said. But then came Facebook's Libra, and the international regulatory community had to get its act together very rapidly. But, regardless of its future prospects, the Libra project has galvanized regulators across the world to look far harder at the opportunities and risks inherent in virtual assets. Alder's remarks at the FinTech conference also presaged the release of SFC's updated regulatory framework for crypto exchanges. Crypto-friendly Silvergate Bank goes public on New York Stock Exchange. Silvergate Bank, a crypto-friendly bank, officially began selling shares on the New York Stock Exchange Thursday. Roughly a year after it first filed for its initial public offering, Silvergate began its IPO day on the NYSE, according to the stock exchange's Twitter account. The news comes a day after Silvergate received a notice of effectiveness from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, indicating its long-running IPO bid had been accepted. The bank currently serves more than 750 firms in the crypto space, including exchanges, investors and others, according to an updated IPO prospectus filed in September 2019. This is up significantly from the 542 clients it reported in March 2019. At the time, while the bank saw its client base grow between November 2018 and March 2019, the assets it held shrank marginally, falling from nearly $1.6 billion to $1.5 billion in the last quarter of 2018. In September's filing, these numbers grew again, holding $1.55 billion in deposits. Silvergate priced its stock pricing at $12 per share on November 6, and is planning to offer 3,333,333 shares of Class A common stock. Just under 1 million of these shares are being offered directly by Silvergate, while shareholders are offering the other 2.5 million, according to a press release. These numbers are more conservative than an updated S-1 filing dated late October 2019, where the company priced each share at a maximum of $15 and sought to raise roughly $65 million overall. If it sells the 3.3 million shares for $12 each, the company will more likely raise approximately $40 million. The bank is hoping to sell these shares under the SI ticker by November 12. Silvergate could not be immediately reached for comment. Avalon Bitcoin miner maker Canaan posts $13 million Q3 profit in new filing. Canaan Creative, the world's second largest Bitcoin miner maker, has made 94 million yuan, or about $13 million, in net profit for Q3 2019, following Bitcoin prices bull run since April this year. The company revealed in an updated filing of its initial public offering (IPO) application in the U.S. on Wednesday that it has been able to bring home a profit of $13 million on a revenue of 670 million yuan, or $95 million, which records a 40% growth over the same period last year. That would give the company a total net loss of $31.2 million on a revenue of $132 million for 9 months ending in September this year, as the firm recorded a net loss $45.8 million for the first half of 2019. Canaan officially filed for an IPO in the U.S. last month as its third attempt to go public after its first two applications in mainland China and Hong Kong, respectively, fell through. Bitcoin's price jump since earlier this year has boosted the sales of Canaan's Avalon miners, which resulted in the market's demand outstripping the firm's supply. According to the latest filing, Canaan's main sales volume for 2019 so far comes from its older Avalon 8 series products with 265,756 units sold, whereas its most latest A9 and A10 models recorded a sales volume of 88,034 and 56,556 units, respectively. All in all, Canaan said in the filing that for the first 9 months in 2019, it has sold a total computing power of 7.59 exahashes per second, which accounts for roughly 8% of Bitcoin's current network hash rate. Coinbase will now reward users for holding this cryptocurrency. Coinbase is for the first time allowing general users to earn rewards by simply holding cryptocurrency, starting with the Tezos XTZ token. In a company blog Wednesday, Coinbase said U.S. customers, bar residents of Hawaii and New York, can now stake the smart contract platform's crypto with an estimated 5% annual return. Tezos uses an alternative consensus mechanism to proof-of-work mining, a system built into the largest cryptocurrency by market cap, Bitcoin. Called proof-of-stake, the alternative mechanism rewards network users for holding onto its coins and thereby helping protect the network. Coinbase's 5% estimate is based on Tezos' last 90 days of staking returns. The firm also notes that there's an initial holding period of 3,540 days, after which stakers will start to see rewards appear in their accounts every 3 days. The exchange has also added Tezos to Coinbase Earn, a program aimed to educate the public about crypto, and will give out XTZ to participants completing tasks. Coinbase Soft launched staking for both Tezos and decentralized finance token maker, MKR, this March on Coinbase Custody. As Coinbase wrote at the time, Coinbase Custody primarily serves institutional clients holding large amounts of crypto. This latest initiative brings staking to even the smallest of Tezos holdings, however. Mike Raison says he'll take legal action to return to Bitmain. Bitcoin mining giant Bitmain's co-founder Mike Raison, who was abruptly ousted from the company last week, said he's going to take legal action to secure his return to the firm. In a letter posted on his WeChat feed Wednesday, Raison publicly addressed what he described as a coup without consent for the first time. Last week, fellow co-founder Jihan Wu told all Bitmain staff in a surprising email that Raison had been dismissed from all of his roles, and forbade employees from engaging with him. Wu further revealed an ugly power struggle between him and Zan during Bitmain's all-hands meeting on Tuesday last week following the initial email to the staff. Zan did not immediately issue any statement or respond to requests for comment from multiple media outlets, including CoinDesk. But in Wednesday's statement, Zan said he was ousted from the company without any consent or prior knowledge, and he plans to resolve the issue through legal methods. He will take Bitmain on in court if needed. I have never thought that as a person focusing on technology and product, I have to start thinking from legal perspectives. It was embarrassing that as a Bitmain co-founder, the biggest shareholder, and a registered legal representative, I got ousted without any knowledge in this coup while on a business trip, he wrote, adding, I didn't realize until then that those scenes in TV shows, where you get stabbed on your back by those partners you trusted and brothers you fought together with, can really happen in real life. While the letter did not state whom it's specifically addressing, Zan told Bitmain staffers and shareholders to be assured that he will return to the company as soon as possible through legal methods to end this very critical moment. Bitmain is our child. I will fight for her till the end with legal weapons. I won't allow those who want to plot against Bitmain to succeed. If someone wants a war, we will give them one, he said. He further added he envisions Bitmain reaching the goal of dominating 90% of the Bitcoin mining equipment market while expanding its AI business. Bitcoin price risks drop below $9,000 if bulls can't muster rally soon. View. Bitcoin's repeated failure to produce a strong bounce from key support indicates the bullish sentiment has fizzled somewhat. Failure to hold above a bearish MA on the longer-term chart indicates scope for a deeper drop. BTC risks falling to $8,800 in the short term and may extend the decline to $8,500. A high-volume triangle breakout on a 4-hour chart would be bullish, although that looks unlikely at press time. Bitcoin is struggling to revive its stalled rally and could soon roll over to deeper support levels below $9,000. The top cryptocurrency picked up a bid near $7,500 on October 25 and jumped to $10,350 on the following day, according to Bitstamp data. The breakout into five figures, however, was short-lived, as prices quickly fell back below $10,000 on October 28 and have remained largely trapped in a narrow range of $9,600-$9,000 since. Downside has been restricted so far by the 200-day average, a barometer of long-term market trends. A pullback typically reverses from key support levels like the 200-day MA, especially if volumes are low, as has been the case recently. So far, however, the cryptocurrency has failed to produce a strong bounce from the support, despite positive seasonality. Prices jumped more than $400 to $9,586 from the MA on November 4, only to surrender gains on the following day. A similar weak bounce has been observed in the last 24 hours or so, with prices rising to $9,450 only to dive back to lows near $9,200. These shallow bounces indicate bullish sentiment generated by the sharp rise to $10,350 has weakened and the market may test dip demand by revisiting levels below $9,000. As of writing, BTC is changing hands at $9,170 on Bitstamp, representing a 1.50% drop on a 24-hour basis. BTC's upside has been capped by the trendline connecting June 26 and August 6 lows multiple times in the last few days. Meanwhile, the cryptocurrency has tested the 200-day MA support 5 times in 8 days. Trading volumes have fallen sharply since the recent drop-off from $10,350. Low-volume pullbacks are often reversed, but a decent bounce continues to remain elusive. All in all, the cryptocurrency looks set for a drop to the former resistance turn support of $8,800. The upper shadow of the monthly candle represents rejection above the 5-month MA at $9,265. A failure to hold above descending averages usually translates into a notable price drop. Major support is seen at the ascending 10-month MA near $8,000. The contracting triangle seen above looks likely to be breached to the lower side, as suggested by the daily and monthly indicators. The ascending 100 and 200 candle MAs, currently at $8,928 and $8,558, respectively, could offer support if a drop out of the zone is confirmed. The bearish view would be invalidated if the triangle ends with a high-volume bullish breakout. In that case, a retest of $10,000 could be seen. Disclosure: the author holds no cryptocurrency assets at the time of writing. 3 insights on crypto derivatives and risk from veteran OTC traders. For all the talk about liquidity, Bitcoin and other crypto assets are thinly traded. Investors that buy and sell large volumes can't do so directly, without slippage, or a change in the price between order and execution. They turn to over-the-counter, OTC, desks to manage those trades, whether buying crypto for the first time, or trading to generate alpha, above-market returns. As a result, these desks handle anywhere from 30% to 65% of total crypto market volume, depending on whose estimate you believe. To get a look inside this business, CoinDesk Research talked to 2 veteran OTC traders in a live webinar on October 28. Martin Garcia is managing director and co-head of trading at Genesis Trading. Yinfeng Xiao is a former trader at Circle and now the CEO of a development stage OTC firm, Reciprocity Trading. OTC desks take on tremendous, temporary risk. Traders like Martin and Yin are tasked with managing that risk by moving large amounts quickly and offsetting it on derivatives markets, including BitMEX, Huobi, OKEX, CME Bitcoin futures and BACT. For background, CoinDesk Research has produced a white paper on the state of crypto derivatives markets. You can download it for free here. As a result, they are among the most sophisticated traders on crypto derivatives exchanges. Here are a few of the insights Martin and Yin shared during our hour-long conversation. 1. Investors' mentality has shifted. The mentality of investors has changed since the earlier days of crypto, from venture-like to hedge fund-like. There's a lot more velocity amongst the traders that are out there, whereas in the early days it was very much more a buy-and-hold strategy, Martin said. People these days understand that this market is super volatile and a lot of the different crypto funds and people that are out there, they are trying to add alpha for their shareholders. 2. Derivatives markets move the spot market. First of all, market moves get started on derivatives exchanges more often than on spot exchanges. Because there are so many trading venues, it's a constant question of, where is the action starting? Yin said. Often it's starting on derivatives exchanges because that's where a lot of people have connections and that's where a lot of the most highly levered bets are taking place. Crypto already is a fairly random, volatile walk in terms of price action, and the collection of these derivatives and the exchanges that list them effectively act as leverage on top of that, he went on. Whenever you start to make a move, there's a good chance it will get exacerbated because of the amount of open bets that are out there. In isolated examples, like the May 17 flash crash, a small amount on spot markets can cause a large move on the offshore derivatives markets, specifically BitMEX, allowing traders to manipulate the spot price in favor of their derivatives markets position. Theoretically, that's possible on regulated crypto derivatives markets like CMEs, but it's more expensive and difficult because the leverage is not as high. That's not the only way derivatives markets can fail. Where things tend to break down a bit and you get a lot more slippage is when you've simply exhausted everybody's ability to really use the derivatives instruments to hedge, so whether that's the amount of collateral that everyone's posted is insufficient, or the market conditions are such that you really can't get access to some of these platforms, Yin said. 3. Two products dominate derivatives. The most popular product is the perpetual swap, reputedly invented by BitMEX. Crypto futures are a close second. A handful of OTC desks can provide swaps and custom derivative products, including contracts for difference, but those two products have dominated market volume so far. Bitcoin options are emerging, but remain a small percentage of overall volume. As providers including BACT and CME have announced plans to bring options on Bitcoin futures into the markets, Yin and Martin said these may prove attractive for large investors entering crypto, looking for a hedge against a big downside in a volatile market. I think it means there are more sophisticated hedging strategies. It allows people to be more comfortable with spot exposure, if it can be more easily hedged out, Martin said. These markets move really quickly, and a lot of the bigger places that want to start trading, there's a significant amount of headline risk attached to this. How do they protect against the crazy downside move? Options may very well help eliminate some of those risks for them. Listen to the full webinar for Yinfeng and Martin's unfiltered opinions on risk, liquidity and derivatives in crypto markets. Crypto exchange CEX.io boosts US push with Silvergate's payment network. UK-based cryptocurrency exchange CEX.io has joined the Silvergate Exchange Network, SEN, the payment rail connecting major customers of Silvergate, the go-to bank of the crypto space. In an interview with CoinDesk, Steve Gregory, CEX.io's Global Chief Operating Officer and Chief Compliance Officer of its U.S. subsidiary, called Silvergate the gold standard when it comes to U.S. crypto compliance, and said joining SEN meant being included in a kind of institutional crypto club. By participating in SEN, CEX.io is connected directly to big institutional crypto players like Coinbase Prime, Cumberland, Kraken OTC, Bitstamp, Jump and Circle, to name a few. CEX.io, which began offering services to U.S. customers in 2015, established a headquarters in Jersey City, New Jersey, and now holds some 17 state licenses to operate its exchange. The company has 250 staff and operates in 180 countries. Gregory was formerly a compliance officer at Gemini, the New York Department of Financial Services (NYDFS) regulated exchange founded by Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss, which also recently joined SEN. He told CoinDesk, "We are in the club now. Silvergate is the biggest bank in the space and with the SEN, and we can facilitate trades to some of those larger institutions that are members." SEN provides Silvergate's large institutional clients an instant fiat payment rail, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This means if a proprietary trading house such as Cumberland, for example, wants to move a few million dollars to CEX.io, this can be done without using a wire transfer. Silvergate's internal online banking uses an API to transfer the funds instantly on an internal ledger. Instead of doing a wire and then a wall-to-wall transaction, we can just have Silvergate move our balance of USD, Gregory said. Although there is no hard data on how many firms are in the SEN and regularly using its internal payment rail, Silvergate is currently in an IPO quiet period and unable to comment, users of the service say the number of transactions is significant. Removing counterparty risk from OTC crypto trades and enabling them to be always on is a good idea, which is also being explored by the likes of BitGo and OTC Desk Genesis, as well as Kingdom Trust and trading firm OTCXN. U.S. plans. There's a short list of banks that will handle crypto companies. CEX.io US also recently became a customer of Nevada-licensed trust company Prime Trust, which now provides the fiat on-ramp and banking relationship for Binance. US Signature Bank is another popular crypto bank, which CEX has worked with. "Signature Bank has been great to us and has been efficient and seamless to work with," said Gregory. "Signature does have the unfortunate limitation that they cannot process retail wire and ACH transfers under $50,000 without batching the transactions." Based on this limitation, he said CEX.io will use Silvergate for retail, under $50,000, ACH and wire deposits or withdrawals. In addition to the 16 or so U.S. states that don't require a license, CEX.io has acquired licenses to operate in Alaska, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Kansas, Maryland, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Oregon, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Vermont, and West Virginia. The firm applied for a BIT license in the spring and held initial meetings with the NYDFS, said Gregory. A CEX.io spokesman added that the anticipated approval would be in a few months from the NYDFS, which administers the BIT license and the New York Money Transmitter license. Speaking to the high barrier to entry when setting up shop in the U.S., Gregory pointed out that setting up surety bonds in order to operate in each state is expensive, especially while having to wait to get a license application looked at, concluding, It makes it tough to disrupt some of the bigger exchanges that are already established. Asia's backed. AAX rolls out crypto trading with London Stock Exchange Tech. AAX, a Hong Kong-based cryptocurrency exchange that uses the London Stock Exchange LSE's matching engine technology, has officially launched. After 19 months of development and testing, the company said on Thursday that the exchange platform has gone live on web and mobile, targeting retail and institutional investors with spot, futures and over-the-counter peer-to-peer trading. The LSE said previously that AAX would be the first crypto exchange to utilize its Millennium Exchange matching engine. Other major equity markets like the London One itself and the Hong Kong Stock Exchange also uses trading platform tech from the LSE. In addition to crypto spot trading, AAX expects the derivatives market to be a major focus with its offering of perpetual contract futures settled in Bitcoin. These contracts, which have no expiration date, will be tied to the performance of five digital assets: Bitcoin, Ether, Ripple, Litecoin, and EOS, with up to 100 times leverage. AAX claims that with the LSE's matching engine, it can settle futures trades at an average speed of less than 0.0005 seconds. To put that in perspective, Binance advertises a low latency settlement of 0.005 seconds for all its current and upcoming products on Binance Futures. LSEG Technology is delighted to have successfully deployed our world-class matching engine capabilities at AAX. This is the first time that Millennium Exchange has been deployed in the cloud, bringing its scalability, flexibility, reliability and seamless direct market access to AAX. LSEG Technologies CIO Ann Neidenbach was quoted as saying in a statement. Thor Chan, CEO of AAX, told CoinDesk that the firm started in March 2018 without raising money from external investors, using its own capital to support a now 100-person team, of which 60% are developers. The exchange will take a hybrid approach to the custody of customers' digital assets, combining its own in-house storage solution and third-party institutional custodians. Asia's backed. Chan said he believes the partnership with the LSE will expedite the process of onboarding institutional clients, especially from the traditional financial sector, for AAX's spot and futures services. He added that working with the LSE will allow AAX to gain access to the stock exchange's exclusive partner network that consists of over 300 major banks and financial institutions. Michael Wong, COO of AAX, told CoinDesk, "We are in the progress of discussions with major institutions, both from traditional markets and crypto markets as well. We have a number of live conversations going on with serious institutional clients right now. But unfortunately, I am not allowed to disclose any names at this point." Earlier this year, Intercontinental Exchange, the parent company of the New York Stock Exchange, launched BACT, a long-awaited market for physically settled Bitcoin futures targeted at institutions. Chan said BACT's tiered system, which requires registered brokers to serve as middlemen, could be a hurdle to widening its client base. That is where he believes AAX has an edge. It's different. BACT has physically delivered contracts. So they need to have a broker network to help do the settlement. It's actually a barrier for them to acquire users, Chan said. On the retail side, AAX uses a similar strategy to exchanges like Huobi or OKEX by enabling peer-to-peer OTC trading as a fiat on-ramp supporting Chinese yuan, US dollars and Hong Kong dollars. "For us, we don't provide any fiat deposit or withdrawal methods for the users," Chan said. "We are not allowed to take deposits or withdrawal from mainland China. That's not compliant to do so. But if it's just a peer-to-peer deal, it's something allowed in mainland China." Futures warning. AAX's launch comes just a day after the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission (SFC) released a warning on exchanges that offer cryptocurrency futures trading in Hong Kong. Companies or individuals who offer crypto futures contracts without a proper license or authorization may be considered as breaching the regulation in the city depending on the product structure, the SFC said, adding, Any person who operates a platform that offers or trades futures contracts is required to be licensed or authorized under the SFO unless an exemption applies. The SFC has not licensed or authorized any person in Hong Kong to offer crypto futures and added, given the risks associated with this type of products, it would be unlikely to grant a license or authorization to carry on a business in such contracts. AAX's current terms of use states that it will not offer services to users from various jurisdictions including the US, Venezuela, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, or any other countries sanctioned by the US or the EU, though it does not include Hong Kong users in the restriction list. In a response to the SFC's latest warning, the company said, "We welcome the SFC's latest guidance on virtual asset futures contracts. We are now studying very closely whether any of the instruments we offer fall under the SFC's guidance." AAX has always envisaged operating in regulated markets for cryptocurrencies that encourage innovation but that also provide investor protection, and we will take appropriate steps to ensure we are operating within all applicable regulations in all the markets where we are active. Zcash trademark talks were about more than a logo. Electric Coin Company, ECC, the firm led by Zcash creator Zuko Wilcox, officially shared the Zcash trademark with the Zcash Foundation, ZF, on Wednesday. Sources with knowledge of the trademark negotiations told CoinDesk talks were more complicated than either party originally expected, especially with regards to the mutual ability to veto trademark usage. And while the branding issue may seem trivial to some observers, the process took months, becoming a bellwether of the privacy coin's decentralized aspirations. "It's a novel agreement, for which there appears to be no precedent," ECC announced Thursday, highlighting one provision in particular. "No party has independent authority to declare that a specific chain of Zcash can actually be called Zcash. There must be agreement from both parties, and neither party can unilaterally override the will of the community." Wilcox told CoinDesk last week the Zcash trademark negotiations were emotionally painful. He likened it to watching a baby bird leave the nest. "As a person, I am devoted to Zcash and can never stop working for Zcash and all that it means for humanity," he said. "As the ECC, of course, we can only work for the community if they hire us to do so." Since his startup spearheaded the launch of this privacy coin in 2016, Wilcox has been the de facto public face of the cryptocurrency. To him, the trademark agreement is a sign of the project rapidly moving to a status where I don't have the power to make something happen or stop it from happening. However, it's hard to imagine what the nonprofit would look like completely separated from ECC, since Zcash founders are now its main source of funding. Wilcox personally became wealthy from the Zcash Founders Reward, which delegates a portion of newly mined coins to the founding team. Along with other co-founders, Wilcox donated to the independent Zcash Foundation, as a type of checks and balances entity apart from the for-profit startup ECC. Several academically minded Zcash co-founders, such as Andrew Miller, became foundation board members. "I've pledged half of all the money I expect to see in the world to fund the foundation," Wilcox said. Yet even with the best intentions, this trademark struggle was, according to Zcash Foundation director Josh Cincinnati, part of the political growing pains associated with decentralization. "You have to make these small tactical decisions every day that might loosen grips of power you might be accustomed to or comfortable with," Cincinnati told CoinDesk. "It requires a lot of risk and faith in the community to take the reins properly." Governance. While many people in the crypto industry still turn to Ethereum co-founders Vitalik Buterin and Joseph Lubin for funding and cultural guidance, the Zcash community is publicly signaling it wants to create a different governance structure. At least four independent entrepreneurs and venture capitalists submitted their own public proposals for the network's October 2020 upgrade, when the original founders' reward funding mechanism will expire. "The reward system won't expire on its own. The reality is that both firms currently dominating network development, ECC and the ZF, will push necessary upgrades the community will adopt that redirect that cash flow. The community is currently grappling with where those funds will go in the future. We hope they ECC use the same data, and if there's divergence we'll need to work it out with them," Cincinnati said. Users are free to fork off, of course, if they don't like the outcome. It's important to note that neither ZF nor ECC could get away with flagrantly ignoring what the community wants. Based on proposals and social media chatter, what the community wants is a peaceful transfer of power from benevolent leaders to a participatory republic. And that, based on centuries of political history, tends to be the hardest deliverable. The unique governance model in Zcash is that it's community-driven and it's self-funding, Wilcox said. Anything that's not self-funding is at risk of capture. Proposals. Several proposals suggest the new developer fund should be managed by a new, third-party council with rotating members determined by democratic voting. I think it's important to have an entity that doesn't have these conflicts of interest. That board members actually have investment experience, Autonomous Partners founder, Zech Holder and proposal writer Ariana Simpson told CoinDesk. While I appreciate the academic lens and the role that professional cryptographers have to play in the community, I don't think that is sufficient, in terms of skill set. The trouble is, where will all these new candidates and voters come from? According to Zcash Foundation communications manager Sonia Mann, roughly 64 community members participated in electing the foundation's board in 2018, which took considerable outreach and work on the nonprofit's part. If we had a robust, both Sybil-resistant and anonymous voting system, then we wouldn't even be having this conversation, Mann told CoinDesk. On the other hand, Simpson was clear the ECC and ZF should both receive funding for the foreseeable future. I think some of the animosity towards Zuko is misplaced, she said. She was, after all, Wilcox's personal nomination for the foundation board in the past 2018 election. In the end, voters chose Clovier CEO Amber Balde, among others. Instead, these days, Simpson continues to play an active role in community governance by participating in public forums. Over time their roles should diminish, but that time isn't now, Simpson said. I think the risk with Zcash is nobody is doing the work. All that work, I believe, needs to be done in a centralized manner. Indeed, a study published in August by Electric Capital found less than 40 developers were regularly contributing to Zcash. By comparison, the study found Bitcoin routinely has more than 100 contributing developers and Ethereum has roughly 1,200 developers. If Zcash is going to thrive, these numbers need to grow dramatically without crippling current teams. Another proposal writer, Chris Bernaski of venture capital firm Placeholder, told CoinDesk, ECC is one of the most talented technical teams in the space and they deserve to be funded to work on the promise of the Zcash protocol. Evolving organisms. Electric Capital co-founder Avichal Garg told CoinDesk the Zcash community is looking to other blockchains like Bitcoin, Ethereum and even Decreed for lessons on governance. He compared crypto communities to evolving organisms defined by their environment, saying, the environment that Bitcoin evolved in and grew up in has changed, if only for the reason that now Bitcoin exists. I don't think Zcash will look like Bitcoin. I don't think it will look like Ethereum, with a foundation, consensus and thousands of developers. Stepping back, the Bitcoin community diversified long before the asset garnered much public attention and market activity. Ethereum grew much faster because co-founders like Lubin and Buterin prioritized evangelizing and spending their own money to encourage external experiments, Garg said. Wilcox has arguably done the same, albeit with a smaller fortune. There gets to be one chain, Bitcoin, that says, we are the store of value chain that never changes, Matt Luongo, CEO of the crypto development studio Thesis, said of Bitcoin. I think this is an opportunity for Zcash to say, look, we are different. We are not just a professor coin or research chain, but we are at the forefront of privacy tech. But placeholders Bernaski says another ingredient is needed. These networks thrive, as Ethereum has shown us, off of third-party investment. It's not the technology alone that drives a network, Bernaski said. In order to get third-party investment, you need to give these parties a voice. The Zcash community is trying to figure out the best way to do that. In contrast to Decreed, a smaller crypto community sustaining a few dozen developers without relying on a benevolent leader or corporate structure, Bernanke said a slightly more centralized form of governance might be more palatable to enterprises. While both Decreed and Zcash are good alternative stores of value, Zcash, given the anonymity using zk-snarks, has a lot of interesting business and enterprise applications, Bernanke said. Leaderless? Despite differing views on how Zcash should evolve, in a true anomaly in the space, all interviewed parties agreed Wilcox has done an excellent job shepherding the privacy coin so far. There also appears to be a robust community of people who want to participate in the open-source project, as evidenced by the roughly 200 people who attended the annual Zcash conference in June. However, some people would like to eventually see Wilcox play a less central role. For Zcash to actually work, this can't be about him, said Electric Capital's Garg. And that, Wilcox concluded, was always the goal. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.